want to look at the Nusach HaTfilah. I've talked about it in the past also a long time ago. The Chassam Sofer also has a Mahalach in it. We have three additions to the Shmona Esrei. Three brachas, which are unique to Rosh Hashanah. Of Malchiyah, Zechoinus, and Shaitis. At the end of Shaitis, we have Ki Ato Shomea Kol Shaitis, Umazin Truma, Vein Doimaloch. So we break the Kol Shaitis and Mazin Truma, the two separate things. Furthermore, when it comes to Kol Shaitis, we say Shomea. When it comes to Truma, we say Mazin. And then, what does the bracha mean? What does it mean, Ve'in Doim Aloch? So the Prima Godim cites one of the Goinim, apparently a big Goin from Lemberg, from the Lvov, Rav Chaim HaKohen Rappaport. And he wants to explain the Loshon HaTfilah based on a Medrash. The Midrash Tanchumen Parshas Hazinu asks why we find that by Moshe Rabbeinu at the beginning of Parshas Hazinu we have Hazinu Hashemayim Vadabeiro V'sishma Ha'aretz Imrifi. So relative to the Shemayim we say Hazinu, and relative to the Aretz we say V'sishma Ha'aretz Imrifi. On the other hand, in the Novi in Yeshaya, the beginning of the Novi in Yeshaya has a similar pasuk that we're reading Shabbos Chazon, and there he says Hazinu Hashemayim. Rather, he says backwards Shimu Shemayim Vazinu Eretz. So Moshe Rabbeinu said Hazinu Hashemayim V'sishma Ha'aretz, and Yeshaya said exactly the opposite. He said Shimu Shemayim Vazinu Eretz. So what's the reason for that? So the Medrash tells us that Hazana means something that you hear from close up, and Shmiya is from the distance, from far, long range.
So Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't
say. So he says, Moshe Rabbeinu was korov to the Shemayim, to the Ruchnias. So he said, Hazinu HaShemayim, that was his abode. The Moshe Rabbeinu was a Himmelmensch, the ultimate Himmelmensch, a man of the heavens. The heavens were his natural sphere. There he said, Hazinu Hashemayim. The earth was far from him. So he said, B'sishma Ha'aretz. Yeshayahu wasn't on the Madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu. Relative to Moshe Rabbeinu, not relative to us, but relative to Moshe Rabbeinu, who was a person of this world. So he said, so he had to say, Shimu Shemayim. The heavens are far from me. The earth, Hazinu Eretz. The earth is close. That's what the Medrash says. So he says, that's the Pshat here. So we have Shomea Kol Shofar, means that is referring to the Tekiyas. The Rekiyas, the Tekiyas represent the Tzaddikim. They're whole, they're complete. And therefore, in effect, their Maisim are heard over the distance. So, Mamela Ki Ato Shomea Kol Shofar. The Koil of the Tzaddikim is one that resounds throughout the world, throughout the universe. The Shvorim refers to people that have lived nishpo v'nitka, people that are brokenhearted because they've been chaitim until now. They've been brokenhearted until now. I got ahead of myself. So I went one step too far. So let's go back a step again. Shomeya, first kol shofar represents the tzaddikim. Truah represents the people, most of us in this world, that have to do tshuva. And that represents a person who's broken hearted. So what did he say? Brings another chazal. that Chazal say in Vayikra Rabba that Derech Melech Boser V'dom is Mishtamish B'Kelim Shleim. He doesn't use broken things. It's broken, a king, it's a Pechitza Zakob, but he throws it away. Any things that are complete. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mishtamish B'Kelim Shvurim. The Eyu, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, is interested in things that are broken. Where is this? So we have again in the Novi in Yishayah that we read in Shabbat Rosh Chodesh, V'al Ze Abit, who does the Rebbeinu Shel Olam look to? Only Unechei Ruach B'Chorein Al Dvori. The person that's humble. That's the person that is humble in spirit. He's impoverished. That's the one the Rebbeinu Shel Olam associates with. So he says, what does that mean? It means that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam brings the Bali Tshuvas closer to him, a person that goes through the process of Tshuva, closer to him than he brings a Tzadik Gomor. And therefore it says, Ki ato shomea meirochik. Who does the Rebbeinu Shel Olam bring closest to him? Is the Bali Tshuva. So from there, their statement is Umazin Tshuva. Let me hear it from up close. The tzaddikim, he hears from the distance. So it's Shomea Kol Shofar. So they say the following moshel. The shaila is that we know that nothing can compare to a tzaddik. That is, he hasn't made a misstep in his entire life. So what is it, what's the pshat that Rebbeinu Shel Olam brings him closer, that he brings the tzaddik. So one of the Balei Musa said the following. A person was zeicher to have two children. One child was a superstar. Just from the get-go. Just he did everything right. He had the right chayin and the right midas, and he was smart, and he went to school, and he learned. Everything just flowed. He was a star. He had a second son. The second son had all types of problems. Physically, he was not so healthy. He didn't have so much chayin. He didn't have zitzflesh to sit in school. He didn't apply himself too much. He wasn't blessed with a big intellectual prowess. So the father sees he has his hands full. So, nope, what can he do? Listen, his first son, they put him in the cheder, and that's it. Everything just took off. The second one, he sees if he's going to act like that, this kid's not going to get any place. So he rolls up his sleeves and makes sure every night to learn with him and to review with him, and he invests a tremendous amount of koyach into him. So finally, he gets up to learning Chumash. Finally starts to learn Chumash. So he comes home, the accomplished son, and his brother, the one that struggled, is sitting at the head of the table, and they're making a whole party celebrating him. So he's a little taken aback. He says to his father, I don't get this. At his age, he says, I was learning Mishnah already, Chumash, at his age. And nobody made any big deal about me, so what's this whole party about? So the father said, it's very simple. Your accomplishments stand great before the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. They don't need any reinforcement. Of their own, they're significant. But if I don't give all the reinforcement I can to your younger brother, he's not getting any place. So therefore, I have to invest much more time and effort into him and do more for him than I did for you. So similarly, the Balei Musa say, that's the pshat. Of course, the tzaddikim are greater than the Balei Tshuva. A person that never did a chet miyomov, he was born and he's a kodesh merechem, one of those rare individuals, who in the world can compare to him? But the Rebbeinu Shel Olam says, listen, I don't have to draw him that close to me in the process of tshuva. His maisim, he can take care of himself. But if I don't draw the ones that are distant from me close, then where are they going to get all together? It's true, they're probably not going to be able to superstar that the first one is. But they can do something. But they need tremendous siyata d'shmaya. So the Rebbeinu Shel Olam draws them close. And the Chasam Sofer says, that's the answer. I've also talked about this as well. different mahalach, but in Ve'ilam Mishpatim Asher Tosim Lifneim, civil law. So what's the first thing that it tells us in civil law, in the Torah? A guy stole, and Kisik Ne'evet Ivri, he hadn't even become an Ne'evet Ivri, he was a thief, he got caught stealing, he couldn't pay back. So in the absence of remuneration, they sold him as an Ne'evet. So this is what we have to begin. This is the first law we have to have in the Torah. The first part of the civil law, page one, is what to do if you catch a ganav. I mean, there's all types of business that we have to do. We borrow things, we lend things to each other, we rent things, we want to shame them for each other. There are all types of things which go on in civil society. There are accidents and crashes and all of that. So all of this is in the civil law. So what happened? All of that got shunted, that can wait. The first thing I have to tell you is Kisik Ne'evet Ivri. What's the pshat? So, says the pshat is that who would buy this Ne'evet Ivri in the first place? You know, you go to a business and you tell a guy, listen, I want you to take in a guy. Who is this guy? Well, listen, and he has a rap sheet. He was arrested. And, you know, he can't, he's a deadbeat. He can't make remuneration. So we want you to take him in. Tell him, with a criminal record, I should take him into my business? And what type of criminal record? You know, he threw a brick through someone's window. That would be bad enough. But he's a thief, so I'm going to take him in a thief into my business? So who's going to take him? Who'd want to buy such an Eved in the first place? So the only one that would want to buy such an Eved is someone that wants to put him back on his feet. And said, listen, the deal will work two ways. I'll buy him, who'll work for me, but I'll invest in him and I'll make a mensch out of him. Now go to the, you know, it's sometimes you see in the Chassidish businesses, I know whatever, some of the people that I know in Chassidish businesses, you'll sometimes come and you'll find a kid that works there. Literally, a teenager. It's way too young in their world to be a robot. He's a troubled kid. The kid's sitting in yeshiva. He's getting himself in all types of trouble, whatever. Sometimes he's from a broken family. So his relatives come and they find a place to get him a job. So he has responsibility and he comes, you know, and they succeed many times in making a mensch out of the guy. So good. Yeah, it's true. He does work for the business. But that's not the reason that they took him. They could get plenty of other workers without this baggage. They took him in because they want to help to make him into a mensch. So he says, that's the only guy that would take this guy, is a guy that has, and everybody can buy plenty of avodim that don't have this problem. To buy such an Eved that's troubled, is you have to intend to help put him back on his feet, some sefer said. So that's why, so who did the Rebbeinu Shalom says, the first thing that I have to worry about in civil society are the guys that are not making it. The guys that are troubled, the Rebbeinu Shalom says, that's on the top of my list. So don't worry, the regular people and their problems in life and how to conduct their businesses, that could wait. Top of the list has to be the ones that can't find their own way in the world. So therefore, he says, that's why the Rabbeinu Shel Olam says, this is the first thing that I have to do. If I have a sick child, I have to attend to him first. So I have a wayward son, that's the first one, the first place I have to put my efforts. So that's what, so... Now we go back to the bracha. Okay, ato shomeya kol shofar. It's tzaddikim. The version of says that they don't need the same effort that the non-tzaddikim need. They're Baruch Hashem, they're blessed with koiches, their compass is set properly in life, they're going in the right direction. That's fine. But the mazel tov are the ones that are crying out because they've done chatoim and they have to do tshuva. They need the closeness, the special kira of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And that's what it says, because in the world it goes the opposite way around. Among people, even who do we draw close? The successful. Right? The ones that are trouble, the ones that you know, they're thrown out of school and they're in trouble with the law. Who's interested in drawing down? Those are the ones we keep away. But by the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, we say, "Ki'ato shomeya kol shofar." The tzaddikim, you don't draw so close to you. Who do you draw so close? Particularly mazen tshuva. And that's Vein Doy Malach. That's the Hiskarvus of the Rabbeinu Shalom, the Klal Yisrael, to assist us in the process of tshuva, that the person that really needs the special Siyata Dishmaya, the Rabbeinu Shalom is most disposed to draw him close. And that's the bracha that we're making on Rosh Hashanah, is the yachas, the association that the Rabbeinu Shalom has with Klal Yisrael. In the kavonas, the purposes that we should find in mitzvahs tkiyas shofar. I mean, in one regard, it's a mitzvah to say in the Torah, and that's it. We don't have to look for reasons. The Torah gave us a reason. But nevertheless, starting from Rav Haigon gave 10 reasons, and it's interesting that the Yaivitz added 3 more reasons of his own, 3 more aspects of focus to the, but the Rav Haigon himself gave. He quotes Rav Haigon here.
Okay,
I do believe. Here we are. I'm sorry, you're right, I misread. I was the print is small, I thought it was a hey. It happened to be, you're right, it's Rav Sadia. I see now, reading it's a little bit lighter than what I read earlier today. Kosev Rav Sadia Gon, 10 reasons. Now the first reasons have to do with one aspect. Everything in Rosh Hashanah, there is one theme to Rosh Hashanah, mitchiloso v'ad sayfei. That's Malchus. Everything on Rosh Hashanah is Malchus. The Chazan begins from HaMelech, and we have HaMelech HaKodesh, and the Malchus, Zichronis and Shoifus, is all Malchus. They're not 3 things, they're 3 aspects of Malchus. One is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's Malchus, right? That's the final pasuk in Malchus. That's Malchus. Zichronis is the fact that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is Shoifet Kol Haaretz. He is meticulous in his dealing with mankind, and everyone is judged according to all their actions. That's the whole bracha of Zichronis. Ata Zeichers Masei Adam. Right? The Rabbeinu Shel Olam remembers all that we've done, and he brings it before us. The Rosh Hashanah's involvement in Mishpat with each Yochid. And that's Melech B'Mishpat Yamid Aretz. That's a function of Malchus. And finally, what's the Bruch of Shofar? Shofar is my Marasina, Atan Iglesa Varan Kodecho. Where was the greatest manifestation of Malchus in this world? Was it Har Sinai? That Har Sinai, we perceived the presence of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, that he's the sole one in the universe. That's the sole source of everything in the universe. That we came to at Har Sinai. That's the reason why is it when we take out the Sefer Torah, it's built in Masech to suffer. And I don't understand that happens to be Vadi Yekis, don't do it. I asked, in fact, one of the Dayanim, he was not, you know, he's not a Yekka, but one of the Dayanim there, he was not sure what the reason for it was. But in Masech Tesefrim, the whole Hanhoga that we have when we take the Sefer Torah out of the Aron Kodesh, beginning with Shema Yisrael, this is all in Masech Tesefrim, I think in the 14th parak, if I recall correctly, in Masech Tesefrim. And what was the first thing we do when we, how come we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad when we take out the Sefer Torah? I even saw our own, I understand why we say. Fine. That is Vashtayach. But what's Bashma Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad? The reason is because Matan Torah is Malchus. It's the revelation of Hashem. So we'll come to deal with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's Torah. So we put it in its proper perspective. What is Torah? Shema Yisrael, the Kabbalah's Torah, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So every when we take out the Sefer Torah on Shabbos, we recite the Pasuk Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. It's Malchus. So that's the theme of the entire tefillah, the entire theme of Rosh Hashanah altogether. All the piyutim stress what? Malchus. Shofar, at its simplest level, is also Malchus. We'll see for a number of different reasons that the Rav Sadia Gaon gave But the first number of them all lock in on the aspect of Malchus. They're manifestations of Malchus. This is the day of Bria Sa'ilam. In other words, that man came to the world on this day, the completion of the Bria, Yom Hara Sa'ilam, Yom Yami B'Mishpat, U'molach Alov, and then the Rebbeinu Shalom is a king. As long as there are no subjects, there's no Malchus. So when did the Rebbeinu Shalom actually become a king? In terms of who can relate to, that's on the day that man appears on the world. Right? There's the old Chassidish joke about a guy that goes to the Rebbe and says, Rebbe, had a dream last night that I became Rebbe. So the Rebbe says, don't worry about it. He says, as long as you had the dream. He says, when 10,000 Chassidim have the dream, he says, then stop worrying about it. You know, then you'll be a Rebbe. You know, when there are no Chassidim, there's no Rebbe. If there's no world, so there's no manifestation of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam's Malchus. So the Rebbeinu Shel Olam becomes the Melech on Rosh Hashanah. V'kach oisim ha-melochim etchilas malchusim is they herald them. They play music to announce their coming. She'toikin lefneim v'chatzoisrois v'kronois lodiya la'ashmiya v'chol ha-mekoimus ha-scholas ha-malchus. That this is the day of the coronation. And we recognize the Rebbeinu Shel Olam's Malchus on this day, on the day that he became manifest in this world as a Melech. This is what we say in Davening Friday night. So this is a practice of Malchus. So the first reason Rav Sadia Gaon gives us is directly connected to the theme of Malchus. Malchus. That's Rosh Hashanah. That's number one. Beis, ki Rosh Hashanah rishon la'aseres yimei tshuva. This is the first of the ten aseres yimei tshuva. V'toikim ol ha'achruz al roshenu nami. That's a proclamation from the king. She'amazir ra'imer kol ha'reitzu loshuv yoshuv v'yoshuv. Now's the time to do tshuva. And if not, forever hold your peace. It's your problem. You won't. And when they give out a new law, so what do they have to do? Is Marsirim is Om Tchila, we call Kruza. They have to let them publish the law. So the law becomes known, right? And they have to give a date that the law is going to begin. So the system digests the fact. Right? New accounting rules starting, you know. The way they do it is probably April 14th. They'll make new accounting rules in their system, you know. Norfolk the Farsim Zerosim, so they publish a law, they announce. Va'ivra Hashmias Koila Cruz, and after they make the proclamation, and Shaymin Loi Tainas Chesron Yudia Viznatsnas, you can't say you didn't know the law. They publish the law, now it goes out to the legal system, and it's, no, they give it X number of months for the system to become aware of it and tool up for it, and then you have to comply. You can't say you didn't know about it. So the Rebbeinu Shel Olam lets us know that the time for tshuva has come. So that's also an effect that either get your books in order or pay the consequences. So that's also a function of Malchus. That's a Melech. Melech tells us this Mishpat, you're being called to Mishpat, and that's it. And here's, you know, the proclamation. So that's also a function of Malchus. So you'll note, the first one is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam is a Melech. The second one is the fact that he's done the world. Melech b'mishpat yamid aretz. Rav Sadia. What's the third one in Rav Sadia? Last kireinu maimar arsinai shayfus. It's Malchus, Zichroinus, and Shayfus. The first three of Rav Sadia's reasons. Last kireinu maimar arsinai shenemar v'koil ha-shayfur chozok ma'id. And so, in one regard, as I pointed out, Rashi says in Chumash is revelation. That the Rebbeinu Shel Olam tore asunder the heavens, we perceive the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, that he's Echad L'mayla, Echad L'mata. And Rav Sadia points to another aspect. Part of the message to us on Rosh Hashanah is just as our forefathers accepted the Torah at Har Sinai, so we have to on Rosh Hashanah accept the Torah upon ourselves. Then they said Nasa v'nishma. So on Rosh Hashanah, we also have to say Nasa v'nishma. So in a regard, this, not only that it's a time, a moment of Kabbalah Sotar, but just as they said Nasa v'nishma, so on Rosh Hashanah, we have to say Nasa v'nishma too. So all of the first three reasons in Rav Sadia, Malchiyah, Zichronus, and Shefus. That's, and as I mentioned, that's all Malchiyahs. Malchiyah, Zichronus, and Shefus is all Malchiyahs. Just different manifestations of Malchiyahs, but it's Malchiyahs. Dalid, the Haskirenu, Divrei Anavim, to remind us of the words of Anavim who prompted us to do Tshuva. Shenemar. Because why? The Divrei Anavim Shenim Shelo Anavuot Ki Hashofa. The words of the Anavim are compared in many places. Horeim Kashofa Kalechot as a pasuk. There we have a verse. Shoma Shomayas Kol Hashofa Velo Nizva. He's heard the call of the Shofar, referring. He's heard the words of the Navi. Velo Nizva. He doesn't take heed. Vatova Chorva Tika Chacherva Tika Chayu. So then the sword will come and take him. Domo Barosho, yeah, he's responsible. Nizar Nafsho Malik. And therefore, the Nevi'im gave us Techocha. So we should be Makabal Techocha upon ourselves in Rosh Hashanah and save ourselves. Hey, Laskarmeno Churban Beis HaMikdash. It's very interesting. That, where do we have this in the Tefillos? This we have in the Tefillos. Uvechentein pachtecho. Well, yes, the Rabbeinu Shalom to restore the Mikdash. Simcha la'artzecho v'sosan li'irecho. He asked the Rabbeinu Shalom to restore the Mikdash. And the reality is that's the ultimate bakosha of Yom HaNoram. That's why there's a very strange thing in the tefillah of Yom HaNoram. If we look at the tefillah, look at the tefillahs in Rosh Hashanah, for example. In the tefillahs in Rosh Hashanah, where do we mention anything about our own needs? There's no mention of our own needs at all the tefillahs in Rosh Hashanah. Where do we have the things about our own needs? The Gaonim came along and they snuck four little paragraphs into the Shmon Esrei. Zachreinu, Amicha Moicha, Chsayiv, and Besefer Chaim. So the Gaonim slipped in four things about our needs. But the text from Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, the classical text of Shmon Esrei, doesn't talk about our needs. It talks about the Rabbeinu Shalom's needs. Because the ultimate thing that we have to be mispalo for is quite Shammai. The Rabbeinu Shalom is covered. And that the Golus is a Chilul Hashem. Elo, Rabbi Yisrael said that we have to daven for our needs too. Why? Because it's very simple, he said. If we're a huge tzaddik, the Vilna Gaon, so on the Vilna Gaon scale, this world was not what it was about. He lived as a Malach Elokim together with the Rabbeinu Shalom. So on his scale of values, the concern for the Rabbeinu Shalom far transcended anything that he needed in this world. But a person who in his own life, where our concerns are far greater in our minds than what the Rabbeinu Shalom needs in this world. So he said, one thing we can't do is to be dishonest in tefillah. That we can't do. So we can't come before the Rabbeinu Shalom and Rosh Hashanah and say, listen, I'm davening for you and I'm not worried about myself.
We never ask for Tzrachim on Shabbos or Yom Tov.
Rosh Hashanah is different. Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin.
We do ask for Tzrachim Rabin, not personal things.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we do have on Yom Tov, not on Shabbos. On Yom Tov we do make Bakashas.
Okay.
Right. On Shabbos also.
Yeah, on Shabbos.
Yeah,
Shabbos is Ruchnius. Rabbi Saul said Ruchnius, the good things we could mention. But it's not so simple. It's a complicated subject. I don't want to get lost in that subject tonight. But so the fifth aspect, according to Rav Haigon, is to remember the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Now, what was the connection with the Churban? So he says, the connection with the Churban was the kol truas oyivim, kamo shom ki kol shovo shoma shomas nafshi, truas mulchomo. That it's described in the Rabbi as truas mulchomo. It should remind us of what we lost with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Then he goes into Schusim now, in the sixth. Last Kireinu Akedas Yitzchok Shemosar Nafsho Lachayim, the Shemayim. Yitzchok gave, was willing to give his life away. Kireinachlu Nimsor Nafshenu Chidush Shmo V'yala Zichroninu Lefon of the Toivah. Right, so we have the ayil, right? We use the shofar shel ayil because that's connected with the ayil of the akedah. So we mask the fact that Yitzchok was ready to be meiser nefesh. So we also have to be ready to be meiser nefesh. Al kiddush shemayim. Seven, kishenishmat ki ha-shofar, that itself should inspire us to do tshuva. He says, "Ki kachu teva kol ha-shofar." The nature of the shofar, the warbling sound, is ma'arud u'machrav, is something which arouses the person's emotions. To Moshe Kosov, as the Rambam writes, "I am yitok ha-shofar b'yavam lo yechrodu." And the nature of this sound, music is very, very significant, because we human beings do very well in the intellectual sphere, but we cannot so readily change our emotions. We're upset about something, we're upset. We have to wait a day, two, 3 days until finally it ebbs. We get finally, that starts to fade, and our head gets into new things, and finally we have tranquility again. But our moods are not so easily controlled. It's more of the one koyach of music, one aspect of music, is that music can take a person in a moment and change his mood. The Chazan sings an upbeat niggun, the Kaddish at the end of the Musaf. Everyone is, it's b'simcha, right? And that's what Ezra said. When we should go home, it's b'chedvas Hashem b'mu'uschem. We should feel that the Rebbe Shalom accepted our tefillah and go to Yontif, the Suda Simcha, the b'chedvas Hashem b'mu'uschem. The schus is to be sameach together with the Rebbe Shalom. When the Chazan has a different type of niggun for an Asana Toikov, it's a different feeling. So music has that koyach to change our moods in a way that we cannot do in any other way. It's a very direct impact on how we feel, on the regish of the person. So that's one aspect. The shofar is, the warbling sound of the shofar is to shake the person up. And that helps a person to humble himself before the Ribbono Shel Olam and to do tshuva. Now, in one of the aspects of the davening, there's a lot of ferments that the Mefarshim, if you look in the Mefarshim, I think in Matalevi, in the Rasana Tokov, it talks about a Shofar Godel Yitoka. Now, where is Shofar Godel? Shofar Godel is not the Shofar that we blow on Rosh Hashanah. Right? We have in Tefillah also, Tkab Shofar Godel Lecherusena. It's Shofar Shamashiach. So, where are we coming with a Shofar Godel Yitoka when we're talking about the Yom Adin? Talking about Rosh Hashanah today. Among them, unfortunately, they have a very hard time with this. How to put the tefillah of the Nesana Tekev back together. And which din are we talking about? Are we talking about the din? Someone even suggests, which I personally find far-fetched, that the din that we're talking about is the din, the Novi says, Lifnei bo yoyim Hashem agodol v'hanoyer. So Lifnei bo yoyim Hashem is Yom HaKitzu Yom HaKippur. Hagodol is Yom HaMisa, after Me'er Be'esrim, and Hanoyro is the day of Tchias HaMeisim. So someone has suggested that this is the Din La'osid, and that's why it's connected to Shofar Godel Yitoka. But it's stimmt nicht, because if that's the case, what's it doing in the middle of the Rosh Hashanah davening? It's stimmt nicht. So we'll see from one aspect of the Rav Sadia and one aspect of the Yaivetz a window to this. And that indeed we are talking about the Din of Rosh Hashanah. But there's a connection to the Yoma, to the Yoma, to the Shofar Gadol. The Haske Yoma Din HaGadol V'Liro Mimeno, that we should remember that ultimately there's a din that we have to come to before the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. But we'll see that this is important in another regard. The Yaivetz will come back to this. Shenema Korov Yom Hashem HaGadol, Korov Umayram Od, Yom Shofar Atrua. To realize Shofar Gadol is connected till today, the realization that justice is Mishpat today, there's even a greater Mishpat on the time of Shofar Gadol Yitaka. But why we would mention it in the Tefillah of Yom Ha'Aron directly as part of the Tefillah of Sanatoka, when we come to the Yaivetz will make clear. He doesn't directly address the problem, but from the way he looks at it, the connection is very good.
It seems like Sanatoka is talking about what's going on at Shemayim and on Yom Ha'Din.
Yes.
But
Shofar Gadol, it's not about Shofar Gadol Yitaka, that's the Shofar of Mashiach.
Okay.
Yeah. Tess, the Haskirenu Kibbutz Nidcha Yisrael, to remind us of the Kibbutz Golias, that we have an Osset, we have a future. Who this Avos Eilam, and to long for the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, that Simcha L'Artzecha B'Sason L'Yirecha. We should really long for it. Shenemar, and there's what we have. V'ho yabayom ahu yitoko b'shoifa godol v'ho oivdim b'eretz asho v'adochem b'eretz Mitzrayim. So there we have the phrase of the shoifa godol. It's to connect us with that fact that there will be a ton that of kibbutz golias, that we should be zoicha to ask the Rabbeinu Shel Olam long for that. And finally, the tenth reason that he gives is also pointing to the future, l'haskirenu t'chias ha-mesim, or the Hamenbo, and to point to the future, that of Tchias HaMeisim. It says, Kol Yosh V'Teva V'Shochnei Aretz. Who are the Shochnei Aretz? Those are the ones that have died, that are going to get up at Tchias HaMeisim. So Neis Horem Tiru, Chizko HaShofar Tishmo. So that's to connect us with the notions of Tchias HaMeisim. So it's to connect us with Malchias, and then it's to connect us with, he says, Yom Hagin Al Gadol, the coming of Mashiach, and Kibbutz Golias, and Tchias HaMeisim. So it's to connect us with some of the major beliefs that we have. Now, in the Yaivetz is something very interesting. He says, V'aleihem yesh lohosif shtayim. I would add two things. I'm not even sure necessarily why they're fully additions. But he says, Echaru kenegdenu, is for our atkia, he is iridus lehokits the domim b'sham v'asham. It's to arouse us from the chatoim that we've done. V'atrua, loshen ginuach milei, v'liyala lehepsin ayom v'ibur alom. In other words, there are the Mepharshim say, there are two things, this din and this cheshben. So what's din and what's cheshben? That we're osed litin din v'cheshben. There's a pshat, the Goyin says it, and many others say it also. Din is the pshat, what we've actually done. Cheshben is what we could have done. What we didn't do, and look, the time we squandered doing things that were unproductive or negative. So instead of that, cheshben is, look what we could have done in this world, what we could have accomplished. So he says, Kia is this Eirus to do tshuva. And Truas is a realization of Hefzer Hayom V'Yibur Olam, what we've lost by not going in the right direction. Then he says the following, Beis, and this is very, very important. Kenegan HaMakatrig HaSoyne HaKoylel, we wish to fight off the Satan. So how do we fight off the Satan? That if we have an enemy, that we have to fight against him. So what do? Kirat. So we arouse ourselves in effect. You talk a shofar b'yom lo yichrod. Bari osam ayidei zeh we blow shofar ayidei zeh umisbal umischarat. So I think that the pshat is the way we'll come back to this soon. So one is that it's a war cry. It's a call to battle against the sultan. In other words, we're not sitting idly by. We're ready to do tshuva. And we're ready to fight. You know, to find the Rabbeinu Shalom. That's number one. Number two, that it's to connect us with what are the schusim. It's to connect us through the shofar to a number of schusim. What are they? The idea is a netzav le'ovar sheniskar akedas Yitzchak. The sultan sees before him the schus of akedas Yitzchak that we have. And therefore, how is he going to succeed against Klal Yisrael? And we even have a medrash that says that the Akedah took place on Rosh Hashanah. So this especially, the Akedah is a schus of this day itself. The second aspect that he fears, that it connects us with Matan Torah. And at Matan Torah, the Malacham Avos is pushed aside from the world. And finally, the third thing is, Sheyori la'osin sheyodei shesofo lizbaleya biyom sheyitoko shofar agodol. So it's a call to battle against the sultan. And what are the three schusim that we bring up? So we bring up the Akedas Yitzchak. We bring up the union of the Kabbalah Satorah of Matan Torah. And the Rav Hai said, Rav Sadia said, that we should, it is the union of Nasa v'Nishma on Rosh Hashanah. The shofar is to remind us to be Mekabel Torah. And finally, that La'osid is going to be the Shofar Gadol. So I think all of these things, what's the Mahala of the Sultan? The Sultan's not a human being. It's not easy to frighten. But in this world, what do you how do you win? When the guy sitting opposite knows that he can't defeat you. That at the end of the day, no matter what he does, when he realizes you're going to win, you've begun, at that point, you win the battle. Kol's mind that he thinks that he could prevail, you're in trouble. As soon as he thinks that he realizes that he cannot prevail, the tide of battle is turned against him. Then victory is at hand. So the sultan, what do we tell the sultan by blowing the shofar? We tell the sultan by blowing the shofar, listen, you're not going to win in this confrontation. Why? Because we have the schus of Akedas Yitzchak to protect us, right? And that's what we invoke in the tefillah. Akedas Yitzchak, Hayom Lezaro Haracha, Hayom Baracha Rem Tizka. Secondly, we have the schus of Matan Torah. And Rosh Hashanah, as Rav Sadi said, is a day when we hear the shofar is to again say Nasa v'Nishma. And when we makabel the Torah, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam exiled the Malacham Avos and the Sultan. And third is that v'shofar gadol yitoka. That at the end, Mashiach is going to come, we're going to be redeemed. So we're not going anywhere. At the end of the whole story, we're going to win. And that's perhaps why we mentioned v'shofar gadol yitoka. Because that's the schus, in fact, that's used against the sultan, as the shofar gadol. When we blow the shofar in this world, but it's masker, the schus of the shofar gadol, meaning to say...
But he always knew that. That never slowed him down.
But so we invoke that schus on this day. And that's what stands in the sultan's way. In other words, the sultan cannot, you cannot succeed against the sinner that you can defeat. He's not, you know, and Rosh Hashanah is different than all the days of the year. You know, there's retail business and wholesale business. The whole year's retail business, a chetir, chetir, etc., etc. Rosh Hashanah, the sultan comes to condemn us before the Rabbeinu Shalom. That's a whole different nature. It's a whole entire din. It's not an isolated incident. The sultan comes to condemn us. So there we invoked, Radi Yaimit says, these three big schusim. The Shofar invokes the schus of the Akedas Yitzchak. It invokes Matan Torah, the schus of Matan Torah. And it invokes the Shofar Gadol of Mashiach. So these are the three schusim that we bring to bear, the Yaimit says, to drive the Satan away. Because these three schusim mean that the Satan cannot prevail. Whatever victories he may have, he can win some battles, that's true. But ultimately, we are assured that we will defeat the Satan. And that's when anyone and any force in the world realizes that it cannot prevail, that's the beginning of its defeat. It's interesting, Rav Yonos and Eifshitz, on this inyan, what it means that we are ma'arvei of the Satan. A human being, we can confuse. You can't confuse the Satan. So it's very interesting. Rav Yonos and Eifshitz is a very, I would say, a radical view. And one that's really, it's atypical in many regards. He wants to claim, and he has a riot to it, a number of riots to it, but he wants to claim that Shofar itself invokes the Midas Adin and not Midas Harachamim in and of itself. What's his riot? There are a couple of stories in the Gemara Moed Katan, Eilu Megalchen. So there was a Gavra Alim, there was a gangster, and he was making a lot of trouble, and they wanted to get rid of him. So they went out to the cemetery with 300 Shofars, and they blew with 300 Shofars, and they put him in Chayram, and he died. So that's part of putting him a person in Chayram, is that they blow the Shofar. So it seems to invoke the Midas Adin. So he says, so how in fact do we achieve the Midas Arachamim through it? So he takes a very lawyerly look at it, Rav Yonos and Eifshitz. He says, if a person's on trial, and he knows that the prosecutor really has it in for him, and his case is not so good, in other words, the defendant's case is not so good, so he decides what he does. He tells the judge that he pleads guilty, and he puts himself on the mercy of the court. So now the prosecutor can't trot out this whole huge case and they put it all into the record against him. So now it's just, he's left on the judge's mercy. So the prosecutor will file a few motions, but all the gory details that he was looking forward to bring out the trial, that's already gone. So we come before the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. He says, we'll mock the mishpat of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. We tell the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, listen, we don't have what to answer the Sultan. Can't answer the Sultan. But we put ourselves on your mercy. Hashem, you're right. We say achayt before the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. So now the Satan, he says, that's how we push the Satan to the side. So the Satan's not necessary anymore. We accept the Mishpat upon ourselves. If we accept the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's Mishpat upon ourselves, and mark the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, he says, then we'll first zeichot to me the Sarachim, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam says. So that's his approach, different than the Yaivitz. The Yaivitz looks at it through the major schusim that we invoke, through Tkiya Shofar. And Rav Yonos and Eifshitz looks at it from the standpoint that we're makabel the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's mishpat upon ourselves. And that's the schus that we have. We will understand then, in the Torah of Brisk, that they consider Tkiya Shofar is a din of tefillah. Not just the mitzvah by itself, but it's a din of tefillah. And we find that it's apparent in the following. You have to put together the Rosh in two different places in Shas. The Rosh is confusing. Well, we find he mentions a little bit the paradox in passing the Yaivetz, but he does not go into it, what it means. We find in the Rishonim, in the Ramban, I think in the Drosh on Rosh Hashanah, spells it out, that it's inherent in the Rosh in two places in Shas, that which of the Iker Tekiyas. So we would all say, the Gemara says, why do we blow two sets of tekiyas? We blow before the Shmoneh Esrei is la'arvei v'sasotin. And then we blow again by the Shmoneh Esrei. Now, but once we blew the first 30 tekiyas, so the Chorim were yotzei the din d'oraisa already. So Now, the fact that it says that the first 30 La'arvav is a sultan suggests, in fact, that which of the principal tekiyas, the second 30. Otherwise, we should have done something before the first 30 tekiyas. That's number one. So we find in the Rishonim, the Rosh, in fact, says in the Ramban, that the tekiyas are seder or brachos are ikar. In what sense are they ikar? I mean, it was yoytzi the mitzvah deraisa. The Yavetz himself makes this point. It was certainly yoytzi the mitzvah deraisa. If a person heard the first 30 koilas and they went home and they didn't hear anything else, it was yoytzi the mitzvah. The issue was something else. The issue is, let's say I had the following choice. And there's, I can hear shofar only one of two times. I can hear shofar before the Shmon Esrei, or I can do tekiyas to Meyusha, or I can hear the tekiyas to Me'umad, but I can't hear both. Which one should I prefer to hear? So that's what the Rishonim say. I should hear the tekiyas to Me'umad. In other words, let's say we have one shofar, and we have to share the shofar with the next town. You know, and my shofars weren't so hard to have. You know, Lulav and Esrog, my father-in-law in his town, used to share with the next town. A guy used to bring it on bicycle from one shtetl to the next because they couldn't afford two shtetl together. Were able to afford a little bit of esrog.
He
never came back. I probably bought one without a pitul, I guess. I'll call upon him. So let's say you have a choice. I can only have the shofar either for the first 30 or for the seder abrochus. So I should choose the seder abrochus. Why? Because the brochus were enacted together with the tekiyas. That's a chelik of the Seder HaTfilah. It's not just the mitzvah of shofar itself. And that's part and parcel. I don't know, the Zohar has all types of mystical aspects to it. On the Pasuk, Olo Hashem b'sru Hashem b'kol shofar, Olo Elokim b'sru Hashem b'kol shofar. So the Medrash says that we invoke the Midas HaRachamim through the tekiyas shofar. And that's why it's part and parcel of the Seder HaBrochus. Just the tefillah itself is to be ma'ir the Midas HaRachamim. So the complement to that is the tekiyas shofar. So that's a chelek of the midas harachamim of being ma'ir. So we have from the Yavetz and Rabbi Yonos and Eibshitz two different views exactly how we achieve that to invoke the midas harachamim. But the function of the tekiyas shofar is to invoke the midas harachamim. Good night, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah.